From John 10:7-10. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
Are you living the good life? Are you living the good life? Oh man, I love it when you talk like that. Okay then, what exactly is the good life? This passage is one of those that it's both carrot and stick, isn't it, really? When anyone accuses Jesus of being too sweet and mild, they just need to read passages like this. The thieves come to kill and destroy. "But I came that you might have life in all its abundance." TV has taught us a version of the good life, hasn't it? Lots of stuff. That's the first thing, right? You got to have lots and lots of stuff. And I am guilty as charged. Those of you who know me well know I collect. I collect everything. I collect toys. I collect dolls. I collect antiques. I collect dishes. I collect silver. What am I leaving out, honey? Yeah. Money. Yeah. No, I'm not so good at collecting money. But we do. We surround ourselves with stuff. Don't we? And that really is a part of who we are as humans. But TV has taught us that we need to have lots of stuff. We need to be surrounded by beautiful people, don't we? Commercials on TV. No cares or worries in the good life, is it? Every night is a night out with friends in some exotic location. We are in control in the good life, aren't we? As it's portrayed. All of the car ads tell you to take control in a Lincoln, in a VW, in a... Very few tell you to take control in a alien green Kia Soul. I love my Kia. Is that what Jesus meant when he says, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly"? I do not think so. Jesus describes himself as the gate, does he not? The gate to abundant living. What on earth does that mean? Question. Is our religion, and when I say religion, you know what I mean, right? You remember the Latin word I taught you. Sarah, don't answer. Remember ligament, ligare? Religion is how we are tied to God. That's how we are tied. That word literally means tied to God. Is our religion more about believing the right doctrine or following the right path? Well, you know that one. What doctrine do we believe as disciples of Christ? What is our doctrinal statement? What is our creedal statement that we put on the wall? And it has all of these very beliefs that we check off of having believed every one of them. What is that statement? You're right, there isn't one. No creed but Christ was what one of the original founders of our movement said. We don't have a doctrinal statement. We have an affirmation of faith. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son and my Savior. So it's not about believing all of these different things. It's about following the path that Jesus has set. If we are to be disciples, and what does that word mean? Student or follower. If we are to be disciples of Jesus, we must follow the path that He set for us. To do this, we must learn. To live an abundant life means being a lifelong student. I told a couple of you about my experience this past weekend in this. I was called, I got an email from a young man and said, "Is this Wayne Ivey who baptized me at First Colony Christian Church?" And it was. So I answered him, and he was calling to make connection. His mom, a good friend of mine in the church, had passed away. I remembered the young man as 12 years old. He was Atticus's age when I last saw him at his baptism. He was baptized in the swimming pool at a motel in Galveston at a church retreat. We didn't have a baptistry at First Colony. And his mom was one of those, the most engaging people I ever met. She was Dr. Ellen Raghavan. She had studied in Japan. She had studied in India. She had studied, what's that fancy instrument that Ravi Shankar plays? Yes, she had studied that at one of Ravi Shankar's gurus in India. She spoke 8 languages fluently. She taught all over the world, and she continually was a student. The last time I saw her was about 26 or 27 years ago, because you know when you leave a church you don't keep contact, because that makes it hard on the next minister. But I remember our last conversation together, and we got into this kind of philosophical, theological argument of eternity. And I remember thinking, I'm here talking to Dr. Ellen, and I am batting way above my average here. She was just brilliant because she learned her whole life. That's what it means. That's what it means. I found out yesterday, not only was she brilliant, she was humble, that she was a Fulbright scholar. If we are to live an abundant life, we must become lifelong students. Question, what are you learning right now to help you live a better life? If you're not, why not? If you're not, get started. To live an abundant life means building good, healthy relationships. Do you remember? Fishermen, tax collectors, Roman soldiers, the blind, the lame, all counted as friends of Jesus. He sees a stranger at the well, a woman who he would learn was of ill repute. And remember, he announced who he was to her. That relationship was so bonded so quickly that she ran back to her village and was able to speak with such conviction that they believed her. This one who had been outcast was now believed because of her relationship with Jesus. The only people that he didn't get along with were the religiously haughty. That was really the only group that he didn't get along with. Well, and the power brokers. Jess Lehrer was an author of Another World, and I highly recommend his stuff to you. He wrote 2 books that I particularly like. One is, "I Ain't Well, But I Sure Am Better." And the other one is, "I Ain't Much, But I'm All I've Got." I would highly suggest that you give Jess Lehrer a look. In it, he in one of his books, he says, everyone needs at least five people in their lives whose faces light up when they enter the room. Do you have friends like that that are, you know, are so glad to see you that their face lights up? We need those. We need those in our lives. Healthy relationships are necessary for abundant living. Question, are your relationships in good repair? Do you have some repair work to do? Do you have some new relationships to make? Do you have old relationships that you haven't been connected with in a while that you need to reconnect? You know you do. To live an abundant life means being active. Jesus spent his life on the move. Now, and I realize that a lot of us are physically limited in our level of activity, but I also know that the majority of us live sedentary lives by default. Over 30 years ago, when I was battling depression and addiction, physical activity was a game changer for me. It is almost impossible to be physically active and depressed at the same time. So at whatever level you are, if you can take three steps, take four. If you can walk a quarter of a mile, walk 3/8 of a mile. But just do something to get a little more active in your life. To live an abundant life means, foremost, if we're going to be disciples or learners from Jesus, means helping others. Jesus literally gave his life for others. And his call to us is to love our sister and our brothers as we love ourselves. And we help those when we are called to love and our lives are made better for it. Everyone I talk to who does some kind of outreach ministry, they always tell me the same thing. I think it did more good for me than for the people I was supposed to be helping. And sometimes it said almost in a guilty fashion, I felt like my life was made better in my helping more so than theirs. I resolve you of your guilt. That's a natural feeling. Enjoy that feeling. Doing good feels good. Besides, Harry Emerson Fosdick, one of the great preachers of another day, wrote these words, a person wrapped up in themselves makes a pretty small package. Get outside of yourself. Tomorrow morning, be here. The food pantry truck shows up at between 8:30 and 9 and we unload it. Tuesday morning, be here. We prepare and we take 100 meals down to the Salvation Army. Wednesday morning, be here. We open the food pantry at 9 o'clock and serve until almost noon. There are opportunities for service within our family every day. You heard many of them before worship started during the announcements. Get involved in them. One we didn't talk about, Kathy, is our new Challis Abbey Fair trade market. If you'd like to be involved in that, that is helping people globally and it's fun. To live an abundant life means living a life in prayer. Brother Lawrence, who worked in the kitchen of an abbey, received more visitors than the monks in the abbey because he had the secret of life. He said, "I feel more at home banging my pots and pans even. I feel closer to God than when I'm on my knees in the sanctuary." He says, "Prayer is an every minute part of my life." Live a life in prayer. Listening for God's quiet whisper. If you will sit quietly and listen, you will be inspired to live in such a manner that your cup overflows abundantly. We never know what form that inspiration will take until we sit quietly and listen. An abundant life means a life in balance, learning, relating, moving, helping, praying, being a disciple of Christ. Now get out there and live abundantly. Amen.